Blog Talk Radio.
I was born here, I'm from here, and I'm never leaving here. I'm a New York hotel. Yeah, I'm tall. 563 feet, 2 inches. I'm on top of the world. I'm looking for someone who needs a weekend in the city, who likes being in the middle of it all. You hungry? I know a place. And a few others nearby. It's the city that never sleeps. But hey, if you need a last-minute spot, I got you covered.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, everybody. This is the product of the one and only Beverly Nation. This is a celebration of people who have been on an archive business that was blossoming from October 4th until January 27th, 2013. And we're just happy to say this is Halcyon Days Revisited. And I am your host, Lonnie Beverly. And I am on right now with a young lady who was definitely with us throughout the hard times and struggles of the times we had with the Beverly Nation, and that is the one and only Antonia Back. Antonia, how you doing tonight? Antonia, you there? Okay, maybe she's not there right now, but that's okay. Basically, I'm just so happy to be on the program. Just tell you about what we were about. In October, we started a business called the Beverly Nation. Thinking about it and going into it, we didn't call it that at that time. We called it Halcyon Days Productions, and I was so proud to be able to be on with a young lady by the name of Ricky Jones, and we started something there, man, that was very, very unique and a blessing to our heart. And basically, I'm just so happy that we're able to do a whole lot of programming, basically from music to news and, current events. We're able to do a whole lot of things at that time. So I'm just so proud, just like I said, to just be able to just do what we do on a natural basis. And I'm just so happy about it. And basically go right into a story that we talked about, a story that happened in Maryland, similar to what happened in Paulsboro, New Jersey, with the 15 freight train cars derailing in an industrial area of Maryland. Basically, once again, who is really, really looking into these sites? And that's one thing I don't understand, the bureaucracy. How long was it before they knew that the tracks were faulty? How long was it that they knew that the bridges couldn't control the day-by-day usage? And, of course, this happened. Not only that, though, it blew up several buildings in the area and leaving one person in serious condition. According to some authorities, and they're still looking into this tragedy. There was forensic acid there. There was terrapathic acid there. And the fire didn't stop burning for almost 10 minutes. Well, no, 10 minutes for that fire that blew in Maryland. Tone, have you reached me yet? Antonia Back. All right, maybe she's not on right now, but that's fine. And basically, I'm so happy to be coming from you live from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. I'm here. So we have some folks are still going to join us. And please, by all means, 215, you know what I mean, area code, we love you. 267 area code, the home folk, you know what I mean, 484, you know, 609, 856. That's our home base here in the Philadelphia metropolitan area. Please call us at 347-202-0392. We'll be glad to hear from you tonight on this very special edition of Halcyon Days Revisited. Basically going into going back to Paulsboro. As you know, they finally built the bridge that collapsed there in Paulsboro. They've been able to fix the switches and all that. And I'm so happy about that at this time. Tony, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. How you doing?
Thank you. Okay. I apologize. I had to switch telephones.
That's all right. That's fine. And like I said, we're glad. You know, we always have, there's always minor technical difficulties come on into our show. I'm so glad
yes.
you're here. Basically, you know, the show must go on. Basically, we're talking about Paulsboro. And, you know, of course, what happened in Maryland last week, that was very, very similar. The train and truck collided on the bridge. Not only that, the difference between Paulsboro and what happened there in Baltimore County was there was significant damage to buildings in the area, which is amazing. So, Tony, talk to me about that there. I mean, you know, it's crazy how we're not really putting down legislation protecting our bridges. You know, even what happened that wasn't connected to the railway that happened in Washington State, when the whole bridge just collapsed and the car fell into the river, which, thank God, no one died from that.
Yes, I've heard about that. And, you know, I have traveled up and down these East Coast highways and byways and bridges included from time to time out of a job requirement, I'll say it that much. But it was very interesting to see that just the idea that when you see the wind just allowing the bridges to swing from side to side, you know, you sometimes wonder, do I really want to cross that bridge knowing that it rocks? Or, and these are obviously bridges that have structural engineering that was invented by people who studied, you know, bridge building and what have you. But one of the most important things, considering a former job description I had in the service, was they had what they call PMS, not the PMS as we women know, but PMS, planned maintenance systems. In other words, you are required to check on certain, excuse me, please, certain structural things that will keep a particular mechanism or operation on a vehicle or a ship or whatever pretty much intact. And I'm not saying this that to say that people have neglected to do their job, but I will say that to say people don't realize that that structural checking really can make or break a situation like it had created in Paulsboro. You can't take it lightly. And I've never been a great big advocate of telling people, oh, just go across the bridge if it strays or flings back and forth or whatever. One example was in Charleston, South Carolina. I think they call it the East Bay Bridge that leads out of Charleston. That's not the only exit out of Charleston, South Carolina, going back north. But they have – that's not the only one, but there are other places that have challenged byways. You know, just because you see big massive structures of concrete don't mean that it's a sturdy foundation. So I don't want to scare anybody, but keep in mind that, like you said, you need more legislation to make sure that these people out here who are in charge of all of this, I guess the transportation people on a federal level, they should be in touch with these statewide people to make sure that these things happen like as they're supposed to, because they send enough money out there for all this. Thank you.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. And basically, we're supposed to be joined tonight by Ricky Jones, but I guess we had some situations, and we're so glad that she even had it, gave us the opportunity to be able to be on the program together. But that's for another day, another time. But basically, all I know is that I think you put it very, very softly, Antonia, and I always appreciate what you do and what you say. But I, like I said, what happened in Maryland was just, it could have been worse. I mean, could you imagine those buildings blowing up out there, man? You know what I mean? And the trauma it caused the schools and stuff like that. And this happened at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was kids still getting out of school, and they had a tremendous blast. So all you thinking is, especially in this days and time, all you thinking is a terror attack. You know what I mean? Or here we go again. You know what I mean? Like it happened a week, or it could have been, this, don't forget, this happened right after the tremendous tornado that happened in Oklahoma. So basically, that's what it's all about. But I know that we just need to do a better job, what I believe, in regulation, Tony. And I think that's been a problem with, I think, the culture of American engineering. I think now, to be honest with you, for the past how many years now going on? 20 years that we've had problems like this, and it's I think it's really negligent. What's your point on that, Tom?
You know, I was just mentioning to someone the other night, it's a coincidence, but it's a welcome coincidence. You don't hear much about airplanes dropping out of the skies like they used to the past previous decades. And
right.
So that must mean they upgraded a whole lot to make sure that that would not happen again. So if they can do that for the airplanes, they can surely invest in a more sound plan to make sure that these structures don't be faulty, not only there, but anywhere across the United States in the future.
And like I said, it's a sad thing when you have to deal with situations like this. You shouldn't have to, and especially, it could have been much, much worse. It could have been much, much worse. It could have been a dramatic loss of life. And it's just sad. You know what I mean? Like I said, we need to do a better job, as a country, and, definitely with the Department of Transportation and as such. So we just got to do, what's the old word we say in the military? Due diligence. We have to do a better job with just maintaining safer roads, safer bridges. You shouldn't have to worry about going across that big bay bridge out in the Chesapeake, worrying if that's going to fall into the water. Could you imagine that, Tony? That high bridge down there in the Chesapeake off I-95, there's something structural, that whole bridge going into the Chesapeake Bay.
It makes you wonder about what's going on in our country. I'm not saying that nobody cares, but it just gives me the impression that some people are just not addressing the important things out there. And if it's not important to keep someone's life safe under certain circumstances, then obviously we have the wrong people who are placed in these positions of trying to maintain these situations. And I don't want to point fingers because it's not right, but we do need to make sure that, somebody understand it's not your job to, maintain that. Your job is whatever your job is, and when you especially pay taxes, and their job is to make sure that they make you safe if they, most likely will address that. I mean, there's too many situations that are going on because some people take things for granted and are very lackadaisy at doing so sometimes. Thank you.
Well, we do have a caller on the line right now, and I'm so happy to have a caller call in. Caller number one, you are on the Beverly Nation and Halcyon Days.
Am I caller number one?
Yes. Who is this, pray tell?
This would happen to be the host of your new show starting on Thursday called Optical Nerd. Okay? For those out in radio land who don't know about that, my name is Aaliyah Love, and I want to make sure you all tune in and listen to my show Thursday, 9:30, okay, because we're going to be talking about love. And it's not going to be necessarily the loveliest conversation you've ever heard about love, but it's going to be a real conversation about love. So make sure you tune in. Brother Beverly, I'm going back to my fried chicken, potato salad, and these mean, seriously mean greens. Okay, so I'll holla. Okay?
All right. Well,
peace
there
and
you go.
Y'all.
Hey, right. Man, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
I'll holla.
And that was Listen, there you go. That was Sister Aaliyah Love, and she's listening to us right now, giving us support. Optimal Nerve, that's right. You know, the man, you know, Lonnie Goodson Beverly always has it for you. Keeping it rolling. And that will be Thursday night premiere, Tony. BlogTalkRadio.com.
Right.
Yes,
I remember
indeed.
You talking to her.
Yes,
so that's
indeed.
Nice.
So we're definitely.
Tell her I said hello, please.
Yes, indeed. So, you know what I mean? She's been busy all day. She's also a playwright, and she also does things. Also a community activist. And so she deals with the October Gallery and stuff like that.
Good. Okay.
So we're happy for her. And basically we're right to caller number two. You on the air?
Hello. Is this
Well. Is this Rick here on the air at this time?
As always, this is the Miss Ricky Jones from Hand and Footprints. I apologize for my tardiness, but it seems like there's always a little bit of technical difficulty when good stuff is coming through. Thank you, Miss Tony, for having me. I appreciate it. Lonnie, thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad you made it. You know what I mean? And basically, just going into what we're talking about, just with the situation that happened in Maryland, with the freight train derailment. And we know, of course, we went back to our broadcast in November talking about the Paulsboro incident. And it's just as similar as that. You know, we had tardy people that were the controllers, you know, the lane controllers. Somehow, some way, someone dropped the ball there. And then we had another faulty bridge. But this time, the train made it over the faulty bridge that was shaking and ran into another truck. And thank God the two CSX train employees were not injured, and no one was killed. But then it was a big explosion in Baltimore County. You know what I mean? And I think Tony put her opinion in. I mean, what's your opinion on that, Ricky?
Yeah, it's a tragedy. And then, like you said, it's not just one component that is the problem to that. It's several components. It's like, where does the ball really drop? Is it the person who was late, or was it the person who designed the construction in the first place? Is it the track system? Is it the railroad system overall? You know, where does the actual blame lie? And, you know, what do we do to correct it from here on out? Because a lot of times, you know, what happens that when we have tragedies like this, it's always the lowest man or someone who didn't really have the full and total control that ends up being the one who's persecuted, while the fat cats and the folks who were in charge and the folks who really see the money or really see whatever it is that comes out of it kind of gets away with it. Or if they do happen to be persecuted, it only gets to the point where it's just a slap on the wrist and some federal changes made or some slight changes, and here this other person who, by right, they're at fault as well, ends up getting the total blame. And then you also have the people who suffer from it. So where do we draw the line? Where do we start? Who really is the blame?
Tony, what's your comment on what Ricky just said?
It has some validity to it, and considering what she said, you know, that's just extra food for thought. Hopefully there will be somebody who's listening who can make a difference, considering the consolidation of the three of our comments on that.
Well, once again, we go into another subject that we talked about on Halcyon Days. And, Rick, you know, we have a lot of different topics on Halcyon. Here we go with this California father shoots two adult daughters, and one dies. Now we're going back into what we talked about, not only with the gun control laws, but also, you know, once again, this happened in one of the murder capitals. Okay, you know, we know how bad Stockton, California is now. And we go right into this. I mean, just went crazy. There was no, they said in the head, there was no cut and dry issue. He just went in and killed his kids, which is utterly amazing to me. So I don't understand, you know, the situation here with this. But a man shot and killed his adult daughter there, right there, stopped it, with three young children inside. also shooting and wounding another daughter before apparently turning the gun on himself. I mean, once again, this man here, older man, Anthony Alvarez, 63 years old, just came in. I don't know if he had a bad day or a rough night. What he did was he killed his daughter and tried to kill his other daughter. Rick?
Well, it's like a conversation that we had a few shows back about mental illness. And there's something to be said, again, not only, and like you said, you don't know what caused it, but let's suspect that maybe he might have had a mental illness or some underlying issues. You know, a lot of people don't want to get the help that's necessary, and then a lot of times our healthcare system, the way such that it is, doesn't always. If you don't hook up with the right doctor that might notice a little something about you and actually suggest that you go and get some services, and then maybe your insurance doesn't pay for the services. So it's a lot of things, but mental health is a definite issue. And here again, you have not just the children who are victims, but his father is a victim as well. I mean, I know people say, oh my God, you're saying that he's the one that killed him. He's a victim as well, because somewhere along the line, somebody missed something for him to just, even if he just snapped, even if he had a wonderful day and nothing was going on, he had a wonderful relationship with his children and he just snapped. Somewhere along the line, there were triggers before he snapped that nobody noticed.
Well, let's go back. You know, you're talking about, red flags there. I mean, Antonia, how do you feel about that, especially, you know, what you do in the conversations weekly in the community as an activist? The validity of what Rick is saying tonight is saying true.
I mean, that is, just like she said, a possibility of a mental illness issue. Well, most likely in this case, it definitely was a mental illness issue that many people had overlooked. And you'd be surprised out here in society who's supporting who on just any and everything that comes about, but when they see that the person has snacked and turned in their own child or children, then they would like to swear they've never seen anything coming, which most likely they have. You know, I mean, coworkers or whoever, because some people are defending some of the most wrong people in the wrong situations. And we're not judge nor jury, but I will say that if you saw someone coming at you in a way that gave you the impression they're going to do you bodily harm, you have sense enough to get out of the way and possibly report it, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, it would be good to see if there's something, you know, and you got to be careful because some people like to attack people wrongfully about what they think a person's having a problem about when they know that's not the circumstance. So you got to be careful about people who always point fingers at other people. For all you know, it could be them. But, you know, it can't always be under suspicion. Just take things in stride and, you know, try to feel your way around things. But, you know, whether the guy was 63, 43, 23, there have always been reports out there of somebody trying to do the people closest to them harm sometime. Sometime it may be a stranger, so it's definitely not predictable. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tony. And now we go to our Beverly Nation ghetto moment. Folks, all you mothers that have sons that come into your house with their pants down, pass their behind, and you allow them to stand around you with their pants down, pass their behind, you need to be seriously chastised. Because, first of all, it's just downright disrespectful, nauseating, and completely humiliating for see a brother, no matter if it's an African-American, or other races trying to imitate that African American, wear your pants down below your belt. Ricky, we talked about this many a time, and not really one time on Halcyon Days. Why are we doing this? Why are we bringing this prison culture out here in the street?
I don't understand it. First of all, we go back to the history. Now, you know, I'm always about history. And the history of the pants below the belt showing a little gap of your underwear was an invitation. Now, This has been publicized. Folks know it. I still don't understand why people are still showing their dirty drawers because it's nasty. I have a son myself. I'd be John Brown. If he comes in here showing me his dirty drawers that he done worn out in the street. Now, I see him in the morning when he goes out, and I see him when he takes his pants off when he comes in. I don't want to see that foolishness that he's been walking around all day, and you've been showing people what color your polos are. Are you kidding me? That's just nasty. First of all, you've been out in the air and the dirt and everything else, and you come back in the house, and you want to talk. I don't listen. I don't even want to talk when he comes and talks to me and he got a snotty nose, let alone I want to see his pants below his underwear. I just, that so gets under my skin because I can't take the level of ignorance that people are living in, knowingly that they're living in ignorance, knowing that that is a sign of an invitation and where that history stems from. Like, come on, people, really? When does it stop being fashionable? When does it get played out? When does it get played out? Because to me, I think it's played out at this point in time, and I think a lot of people just do it so they can do it so somebody can recognize them, because the poor, pitiful people look in the mirror, don't like what they see, don't know what they're looking at when they look in the mirror, so therefore, in order to get recognition, they got to show their drawers. That's what I have to think about that. But like I said, with my own son, I'd be darned. I don't even like the way he might want to try to wear his hat a certain kind of way. You know, there's a level of respect that comes in and out of our house that just does not fly with me, doesn't fly with his father. I can't abide by that. Not especially when I know what I see in his underwear and when I'm watching it and all that kind of foolishness. You showing people this? Come on.
Well, let's go into that more detail. Hold on, I'm getting the bad feedback here. Okay. Okay, thank you. Basically, it's amazing. And Tony, I'm gonna go at more ghetto files. You know, I call it smoker's fashions. Because to me, you look like a smoker when you got your pants down below your belt. You know, lots of pants that fit. Okay? Now I'm going at the young ladies. Ladies, we don't want to see your ass crack. We don't want to see your ass crack when you get up from a seat. Now, that's
unless you're a certified plumber.
Well, there you go. Whatever. But I don't want to see his ass crack. How about that one, Rick? We don't want to see none of them. I'm talking about the ladies right now. Fuck plumbers and fuck men. I'm talking about motherfucking women. Thanks, Rick. Like I was saying, women, we don't want to see your ass crack. Okay? Yeah, you're getting Lonnie Beverly tonight. Yeah, because I'm Beverly Nation. I can say what I want. Listen, you don't want to see your butt, okay? Don't just wear pants that fit or wear a belt. And, Tony, I'm going to leave that one to you there for the women that want the people to see their butt high.
Oh, you messed up when you said, well, I'm going to tell you about the young ladies. They do it because they know that the men do give them attention, and you can't help it. But, you know, if you were to tell me that the majority of the fellows don't like what they see, I would really be surprised. And the young ladies know it, and so they feed into it. And I'm not saying it makes them bad. I'm not saying it makes them good. All I can say is that in the end, don't show that there aren't going to be many guys that respect you. They may tell you that, but that only lasts for a minute. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you that you're bad or you're wrong or you're unsaintly or ungodly. You just have to understand that eventually, in the long run, you're not going to get no more respect than what you put into yourself. And if you don't mind my commenting on the males, well, I think, seriously, that's a sign of rebellion coming from their end of the, you know, spectrum, because males, in a lot of cases, you know, just like we have when we were teens or whatever, or young adults, like in the early 20s, they have a tendency to find out what gets the attention of their family or their parents by showing butt crack and thinking it's a fashion statement and getting a chance to rebel at the same time. So they're slowly learning that as time goes on, that fashion statement stuff will play out. But little do they know, it's been considered a fashion statement for about 20 years now. So when does it start becoming an old sign of rebellion and or attention grabbing? And when does it start looking like, you know, you just don't have a mind of your own and can't see the whole message people try to tell you about the myth that surrounded the wearing of the exposure of your behind showing? So, you know, truthfully, I'll admit it is not eye-tingling for me. And I would tell a young fellow, if he's a decent person, I said, Miss Bass, I want to see your nastiness. Would you please? And most of them will turn around and yank at their pants a little bit, and I'll keep going.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Let's go back to where the origin really is. There will be no myths upon this one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
In slavery time, okay, we all know that slaves were not allowed to have belts. This is recorded, and this is true. So back in the day, when you used to shuffle around the master, you come up, you're the boss, you'd be holding your pants. You know what I'm saying? And after dumb slavery, and what they talked about. So that's where it comes from. We weren't allowed to have belts. And I remember my grandfather being born in the early 20th century talking to me about that when I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old. And he said, man, you know that back in the day, man, even when you worked on, you know, as a sharecropper, if your boss or the boss man that walks, you ride the horse, catch you with a belt on, he would fire you. Because with one thing James Brown said, Ricky and Tony, is one thing I always believed in. He said, make sure you show yourself. You're not sure yourself if your pants are falling down your behind.
No, you're not. And then you're right about that, Lon. And on top of that, to go further into history, the history of having your pants down at a certain length was an invitation for those who were incarcerated to determine which side of the soap bar you were on. People forget about that as well, as far as with the pants down.
Well, you know what, though? We go right on. You know, like I said, I call that Antonia and Ricky, I call that Smokers Fashions. So we want to just want to thank Smokers Fashions, brought to you by Tony's Bar and Grill in Delran, New Jersey. We thank you, Tony, for sponsoring the Beverly Nation. Tony wanted me to bring that up tonight. Thank you, Tony. Hey, Antonia, that was Tony. Anthony saying thank you for bringing that up. And he's tired of seeing the kids looking like bums.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know,
and
I appreciate you all making those comments. I thank Ricky for bringing up the fact that it was been known to have had a history of people who were incarcerated, who were told to drop their drawers in order to have their behinds taken. And from that point, I've learned that was a very bad symbol. But, you know, you can't get through these younger people that's not a good thing. And then to take it back further from what your grandfather mentioned, I say that
all
should
right
be
now
enough right there to convince them to not even consider that a fashion. But all things will take time, and if you just patiently just tell them every morning need to pull your pants up.
That's
right. If they do it, though, maybe one day it'll sink through.
Well, will sink in instead of their pants is sinking down. So that's another issue altogether. But, of course, we have another issue, ladies, and we're so glad to have, you know, the Halcyon Days revisited here. RawTalkRadio.com is always going to be our engine. It is the entity of the Beverly Nation, 347-202-0392. That's, once again, 347-202-0392. You can call us here in Roslyn, Pennsylvania. Now, listen, we've had a whole lot of police officers getting shot in the street, or almost getting shot in the street, and the police are firing back here in Philadelphia as well as Oakland, California. Philadelphia and Oakland in the last month have had the most police killings in the nation. I'm going to go to Antonia there first there, Rick, if you don't mind. Antonia, the police are either a running scared or they're just, you know, hey, if you pull a gun on me, I might wait for you to pull the trigger on me because I got to go home to my family. Antonia?
Well, as the saying goes, two wrongs don't make a right, and especially they're doing it just because, then, hey, look, let the crime fit the time, as the saying goes, and time fit the crime, whichever, either. But sometimes, you know, uniforms make people, let's say, defensive sometimes, and they don't know how to take it. Sometimes it makes them leery. Once in a blue moon, I may have heard of a deception coming from the behalf of an officer, which has been proven in the media, not by me, of course, and it caused people to feel as though they had to be defensive. But then again, we have more nuts than the law allow out there than you can imagine, so I'm not going to sit there and try to justify anybody who just think they allowed to open fire on an officer, because I've met good officers, too, just like I've met good people. So they're not going to let me make me be a hard sell on what the officers did that's wrong, because there's more good ones than there are bad ones. I can defend that much. If that were the case, this world would be at a loss.
It'd be an anarchy. That's correct. And, I mean, I agree with that, Tony. Yeah. I'm almost afraid. I'm almost afraid to even ask this opinion. Ricky R. Jones, please expound upon what you believe here.
First, to start off with, the two wrongs don't make it right. No, you're right, but sure enough, make it even.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is what I'm going to say, and I agree with Tony. All joking aside, I agree with Tony. Sometimes folks see the uniform and, you know, I don't know, something clicks off and they just feel as though they have to go a different direction. But this is what I don't understand. If you go, a police officer is supposed to protect and serve. Now, they're out there dealing with all types of elements, all kind of things that we can't even fathom or imagine. And basically every time they step foot from their house to the station and then out into the streets with everyone else, they're putting their lives in danger. I just want to know, what the heck do the people want the cops to do? If you point a gun at me and I'm a regular person and I'm a gun owner, you point a gun at me, I'm going to shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you
right.
want the cops to do?
That's right.
Now,
well,
granted,
listen, I mean,
they're trained, they go through psychological training and everything else, and they're supposed to think through the moment to make sure that they're, you know, doing the right thing and observing everything that's going on at the same time. But if you hop out of a car and you start running down the street shooting people who are shooting back at you and you're doing it right in front of a cop, what do you want to do? I mean, what do you want the cop to do? Stand there and just watch you? You coming at a cop with a butcher knife, what do you want to do? Stand there and look at you? Now, granted, sometimes in the heat of the moment, they do aim to kill. You know, and that's just human nature. Human nature dictates you, you know, all the training in the world. But when your life, when it really comes down to survival of the fittest, what happens? I'd like to see a lot of the folks, granted, maybe there's some studies that need to be done. Maybe there's some extra training. You know, these folks, most of these folks are good trained marksmen. So maybe they can aim for the hand. Maybe they can aim for the shoulder. Maybe they can try to aim for the feet. Whatever the case may be, some non-life-threatening shot. But in the heat of the moment, and I would dare any civilian to go out and somebody got a gun to them, what would they do? Are you going to aim just to, you know, disarm them? Or are you going to shoot them because you're trying to save your life so you can go home to your wife and your kids? Or turn around and go back and see your house? I just want to know. Granted, there are some rotten eggs, but that's where you have that everywhere to make a difference what the job is. But for the most part, you have more good, decent law enforcement folks out here that are trying to do the best that they can with what they have. And they're just trying to, you know, and a lot of them really love their job. They go into the field because this is what they love doing. They love walking the beat. They love doing what they do and protecting and serving. What do you want them to do?
Well, let me tell you something. Like I said, too, you know, when you have a situation where a person is pointing a gun at you, all right, I'm talking to America. America, let me tell you something. You're going to try to neutralize that person. Antonio and Ricky, you understand what I'm saying to you. You're not worried.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to train the world that goes out the door, because that hole that you see pointing at you, you know what I mean, with that power trigger can end your life right then and there. Oh, this should have been the arm. Look. Law enforcement officers, if a man comes out of a car and points a gun at you, you are supposed to do the best you can to neutralize that person. And the Beverly Nation approves this message. And now I go to caller number one. that's just foolishness to me. Because you know what, Tony? I'm going to tell you something, man. We do have some real good cops out there, man, just trying to survive and try to do their job accordingly. It's a damn shame. I'm hearing this on KYW. I'm hearing this on, you know, the regular newspapers here in Philadelphia, as well as Chicago, Detroit, you know, we're world citizens. I don't care if it's Baghdad or London. You know, we'll see what happened over there, and I'm going to go there in a minute about the military folks that was hacked to death. We'll go there. Oh, yeah, well, don't trust me. This is how the days revisited. Caller number one, you're here with the man Lonnie Aloysius. You on the air, call number one.
There's 12 cops in here.
Hello, 343. I guess I come back to them. I hope that wasn't the kid listening, because guess what, he got an earful. Other than that, this was marked as mature for all, not for all audiences. Anyway, basically going back to where, you know, look what happened in London. Man walking down the street, mind his own business, home, you know, on leave, okay? Somehow, these men come out with a what they call back at home, you know, my folks from Trinidad, you know, the gear knife, which you know is a machete, and they chop him to death. Tony, hold your horses here, because I'm gonna go to Ricky on this one.
Okay.
What the hell? What the hell, Vic? What the hell?
That's the same question that I asked. What the hell? Why in the world? And then you wanna blame it. It's one thing. I'm dumbfounded. It's one thing to go for and stand up for a cause. Everybody should stand up for a cause. Believe in something and follow through with it and stand behind it and all that good jazz. But then there's another for taking your cause and then hurting people with it. Isn't the point of a cause is to make it a little bit better than what you got it with in the first place? Isn't that the purpose of a cause? Isn't that purpose of protest? Isn't that a purpose to, you know, expressing your voice and your opinion about something that you don't agree with? It's not supposed to go when you go out and hack somebody up. Really? And then you have the unmitigated gall to put your ugly face on TV so everybody can see it. Really? Making your countrymen look horrible. Because it's not bad enough that folks already have some prejudged notions about certain folks. But then you have the nerve to get on and want to talk about your plight and why you did it and your anger and your disgust. Okay, I understand your anger and disgust, but to take it out on another human being, that's not what that's supposed to be about. That's ridiculous.
Well, look, I'm so glad that, like I said, whatever the technical difficulties we had earlier, that they did not allow Ricky Jones to be on this program tonight. Rick, thank you for joining this program tonight. Antonia,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to you because this story, I'm glad, you know, I'm so glad me and Gene didn't even touch this, and we're not going to touch it on this forum. It is so ridiculously stupid. Antonia, please, please.
All I can say is what she said is right, speaking of Ricky, and then some. All I could say to myself is, boy, talking about flipping their wig, I said, well, guess what? I said, they better not even try to get me to justify nothing that will support their reasons as to why they would do something that's as macabre as that, because as far as I'm concerned, they have just went over their limit. And if it were up to me, I tell you, I'll make sure the crime will fit the time will fit the crime, or the punishment will fit the crime, because, you know, to me that just give me the impression that, well, you know, you ever heard that saying, whatever they've been smoking, God, I sure wish I could have, in other words, whatever make them go over the top. Well, no, that doesn't apply to me, but they've been smoking some pretty big. They must have been smoking the best wacky weed out there that was laced with something that we don't know about, because that's the only excuse I can come up with, that they were on some stuff. Because nobody in their right mind would have used a butcher shop approach to justifying somebody's death that they don't even know from Adams. And next thing you know, putting it on display, yeah, they lost their rabbit mind. I ain't going to tell you what type of rabbit mind, but you know what I'm saying.
I wish you'd just come out and say it, Tony. Let me tell you something. That was they had to be smoking some psychedelic jazz chocolate shit right there. Because I don't understand who does that. You know, we, you know, like the kids say that, you know what I mean, you know, totally ebonical, where they do that at. And I don't understand what's going on. I'm going to try to get this this caller number one back on the air again and see what, you know, what's their opinion on this. Caller number one, you're on the air. Hello?
Sound like they don't even know they were on the air.
Yeah, that's what I think. Well, I'm going to come back on. I'm going to take it back on. But basically, once again, we are going into archive. And this has been the 10th show in a row, Tony, that we're going into archive, okay? And once I found out that, guess what? The live audience on the computers and the World Wide Web, you know, they still continue to hear us through archive. Now, of course, like I always say before I do station identification, Ricky and Antonia, this is the Blog Talk Radio Network. And as well as the vehicle that is being, you know, used is the Beverly Nation. You can reach me at LBeverly17 at Twitter. You can reach me at LBeverly17 on Kick. You can reach me at LBeverly17 at gmail.com. And you know the great vehicle that is blogtalkradio.com, the Beverly Nation. So we want to thank all of our listeners that have been on tonight. And also my sister girl, Aaliyah Love, with her aggressive self coming on, promote her shout. So I'm so glad for her, because guess what? You're not ready yet. And this is the station identification. This is the Blog Talk Radio Network. And now we're on archive. Ain't that something? We are still doing our thing. Hey, Rick, this is our 10th straight show that we have done archive. Over the time allotted, the show was been 45 minutes. I knew the show had really meant for an hour and 15. But that's okay, because I got some stories, man, that are just ridiculously unheard of. I want to thank Sister Aaliyah Love, like I said, because let me tell you something. World, you're not ready for her yet. World, optical nerve is going to get on your last nerve if you're not strong. So all weak people, please be quiet and don't call my network Thursday night, 9:30, blogtalkradio.com, the Beverly Nation. Now, back to us. Now, I want to know something. It's plain and clear as day. I heard a young lady, Tony and Ricky, y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Get on the bus and was like, yeah, bitches ain't shit. I hate a bitch. Okay. I said, what are you doing? Well, he ain't talking about me. Antonia, I'm going to you right now because I think our young ladies have lost their everlasting mind in this world. You're listening to a song that is degrading you, and you say, well, he ain't talking about me. Antonia, because Ricky, I'm going to let you go last on this one. So you still there? Okay, time just went off. Rick, are you still there, Rick?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Go ahead if you needed to, Ricky.
Okay.
I didn't mean to.
That's all right. I'm going to go to Ricky right now,
fine.
Tony. But I'm going to get you right in a minute. Rick, answer that question right there.
Young ladies, not all of them, but most of these young ladies have lost their rabbit behind minds because their mamas have lost their rabbit behind minds.
No. This is a mature program. Don't front tonight, Rick. Say what's on your mind. Do not use but. Continue.
Listen, I still have my own. I still have my own show that I got to get out there, so I'm going to use rabbit behind. They're not ready for that. They're not ready for that on Hand and Footprints.
But it's Hand and Footprints, but I'm going to let you go ahead with yourself and continue.
Okay, so they're lost their doggone minds because the mama running the street, they're running the street, everybody want to be a girlfriend, everybody want to try to, the mama trying to get, be a cougar, a pantherette, trying to get the boyfriends that the daughter has and all kind of, because whatever age that you decide to have this child, you felt like you gave up your childhood, you probably did have it in your childhood, and then lost your mind. But now, as far as music, you know, having certain songs that disrespect women and folks go along with it. Now, not for nothing, and I'm going to go back to a particular song, and even though it's not necessarily truly, truly disrespectful, but it does say something against the aesthetically challenged, and I'm just going to say the line, a cute face you may not possess. Okay, now that's a diss to the appearance challenge, okay? But people sang it now, didn't they? Okay? So now you're listening, not that I'm justifying, but you're listening to this lyric. I've come to the conclusion a lot of people are just listening to the beat. They don't pay attention to the words. It's not like when we were growing up, you listened to words, you understand, you read the album cover from cover to cover. You did all of that. These kids not doing that. They're going by the same syncopated beat that you hear in all the songs. I think it's some type of mind control. And you're not paying attention to what the dum-dum is saying on the other end. Because the dum-dum is being puppeteered by the music company. Because they're not even, listen, do you even think about what you write? Because half the time a lot of these artists not even writing their own damn stuff. So you got somebody writing for you. You singing the garbage, thinking that you're going to get some kind of money. But in the end, you end up walking around with your pants below your belt.
And going right back to the beginning of what we talked about here on this lovely Beverly Nation.
Offering an invitation.
Okay. What she said and then some. You know, I don't think that some of these young ladies realize that one day, you know, you're going to want somebody to want you for yourself. You're going to want somebody to respect you. And if you want all that, you know, you're starting out wrong. And you probably say, well, I don't care as long as I get mine. Well, you know, go ahead and get yours. But meanwhile, in the long run, you're going to be like a lot of these washed-up broads that look like they don't have no self-esteem, and you can't blame it on society or your mom or anybody else except for yourself because you had the opportunity of having people like us to tell you the truth. No, it isn't all peaches and creams out there, but yet and still, these guys, they don't respect you no more than what you respect yourself. So, you know, it's not to put you down. It's not to say you can't enjoy the beats. But then again, you know, like Ricky said, listen to the words. And one day say to yourself, do I want all of this to fall back in my lap and make me look bad? Because, you know, if you want to be disrespected, there's some guys out there who will love to disrespect you. But what gets me is these aren't guys who are just like teenagers or like early 20s. These are guys who are like, God knows from what age to whatever age, and even Jay-Z had to catch himself and say that he's not going to make a reference to the word B-I-T-C, you know what. So take that as a lesson. Take that as a lesson for yourself and for the people you care about and for the people who you want to love you. Don't think that all of society's out there because, you know, some of us will love you back, but you got to love yourself for us to love you, okay? Thank you.
Well, you know what, though, and you said, you know, I'm glad you brought up Sean Carter, who, you know, everybody knows is Jay-Z. You know, it's easy to, you know, to retract when you made millions and millions of dollars. Anyway, did I say that out loud? Anyway, girl rode with dog in cage on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Yes, I'm going to go right back over this story because I always pick one, especially in Hopkins days. Two parents faced charges after authorities said motorists by a 10-year-old girl riding in a dog cage in the back of a pickup truck in western Pennsylvania. The Pittsburgh Tribune reports police say it happened around 7 p.m. Monday on the Pennsylvania Turnpike in Nannerville, just outside Pittsburgh. Authorities said they responded after getting reports from motorists who saw the girl riding in the back of the truck in the cage. Her mother, 29-year-old Abby Carlson, and stepfather, 30-year-old Thomas Fischinger, are now facing charges of endangerment the welfare of a child. Police said they told them the girl had said she wanted to be with the dog. We already talked about this, Tony, so I'm going to let Ricky talk about this one. Ricky R. Jones, expound upon the girl said, please, Daddy and Mommy, can I ride with the dog?
Okay.
Now, listen, you go there. Whoa, before you go there, now you know how calm and sweet Jean is, right? If you heard News Farm on Tuesday, Tony, was she mad?
I'm not going to comment because, you know, it's a pro and cons for that whole thing. And I'll make a brief comment, if you don't mind, when Ricky finishes.
No, it just makes no sense of just what went on because I want to ride with the dog. No, you can't ride with the dog. Go ahead, Rick.
I mean, what's the matter? The dog is man's best friend. He's part of the family. Why can't I ride and get the experience of what the dog gets when he's riding in the cage in the back of the truck? Why can't I have an experience, Mommy? Why can't I have an experience, Daddy? That's fun. I mean, why can't that be fun?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you got a whole lot of people in the nation saying, as Ricky Joe, we're not listening to no hands and footprint now. So you better clean that shit up. Go ahead, Rick.
Listen, and okay, I'm not going to comment to that comment, but okay. But on the flip side of that, listen, folks, when do you stop trying to be your child's best friend?
Mm-hmm.
You got Fido for a reason. They're supposed to be your child's best friend. Okay, you and the child and Fido go sit down somewhere. Child can sit in the back of the car, you know, where the seats are. The dog sits where the dog's supposed to sit. Really? Really? I mean, there's some things you might want to, you know, you say, okay, I want my child to be able to experience, and you want them to have certain kind of liberties. But now, when does it get retarded when you come off? What light clicks off or don't click off when you decide to get on open road with the foolishness? Now, it's one thing for you to want to do whatever you do in your own house, but when you're dumb behind takes yourself on public highway, what do you think people are going to say? Then you open yourself up. I mean, really, you open yourself up to whatever happens to you, and I don't feel bad for you because, dumb, you should have stayed home with the foolishness. If you want Becky Lou to play with Fido,
that ain't right.
And Fido can go and play.
Wait a minute. You won't say ass on the program, but you won't say Becky Lou? No, we're not going there. We're not going to say they're hillbillies because that's discrimination. But we know.
No, I'm not saying they're hillbillies because there's some people of color can be named Becky Lou. There can be some people from the Caribbean that can be named Becky Lou. I'm not calling nobody no hillbillies, but I'm going to say it.
We talking about the better man and where they were.
Listen, we're talking, if you really want to talk about where they were found, if the shoe fit, wear it. But back to, if you want Sandra Day, if that's better, then do that in your own house. If you want to do that in your own house. But come on, everybody's not going to go along with what you go on with and what you subscribe to. So if you want to keep your subscription to yourself, don't bring your foolishness out in the street and let everybody else see it, because then you're going to be subject to ridicule and everything else. And I'm pretty sure these parents didn't mean any ill intent. This is probably the dumbest that they do on a regular basis in their little heck town, wherever it was that they live in, with a population of two. So this is probably something they do on a regular basis. Okay, fine. But everybody is not you, and everything ain't for everybody, and you can't take everything everywhere.
Well, I'm going to go there with you, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Tony, before you put sound, let me explain what the real deal is, okay? I understand what you guys were saying, and Tony, I'm going to go there with you right now. In the news forum, you said, well, you know, the kids' parents, no. Let me explain the statutes of law in the Congress of Pennsylvania. First of all, the dog was in, the cage was bouncing around the truck, Antonia, bouncing around the truck. So the cage was not secure. So hold on. Let me expand. So Antonia, pause. But we didn't go into detail about it because I had other news story. Because this foolishness was laughable, I clowned them and went on to the next story. All right. Now, basically, the cage was bouncing around the truck, Antonia. Wasn't secure. Now, the Congress of Pennsylvania said you're not even supposed to be, no child is supposed to be in an enclosed, the cage is only about 4x8. So that kid could have broke her neck. So I want to be able to expound upon, you know, what really went down and really how much danger, once again, they must have been on psychedelic Janis Joplin-type drugs, because who would put a kid and stuff him into a cage with a dog? Now, let me explain what went on before Antonia goes on to her statement. Both the dog and the baby were cramped in the cage. So that means that every time there was a bump, both the dog and the child felt it.
Mm-hmm. that sure did lend a different light on the whole thing, didn't it? Well, you know, I have to, you know, play devil's advocate like Ricky did and just say there's a pro and con to that. But since you mentioned the cramped quarters, I just will say that the parents weren't too bright, and that's just a perfect
too
example. Right. Of,
you know. Oh, wait a minute. The parents, what? Tony, you got to stop being a neutral in this. It was Tony, it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad. There ain't no two right. It was horrible. Once again, not only the cramped quarters, but the
mm-hmm.
cage was bouncing around in the truck. So when the child came out, the child, Ricky and Tony, had bruises.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible situation.
I thought they were trying to make an example
of
the parents, but it's not that. The parents were just not bright,
horrible.
That's all. So there you go. I have no more to say. Scrap anything else I had in mind.
That's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. And, of course, they were, brought to the fullest extent of the law. Not only was that, but first of all, it was Adam. You ready for this, guys? Hey, Rick, you ready for this one? The first count, now I'm going to tell you something how backward that town was, whether it was Hick or if it was a outstanding, up-to-date community. They brought them under animal endangerment before they did the child rights. Now, where did they do that?
I can believe it. Cause I think listen, in some households, Fido eats better than the breadwinner in the house.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think Fido is the best friend, and the other child of the family. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I understand all of that. I had a dog. And that dog was treated just like one of the family. But
mm-hmm.
for some people, it is really real. And if
mm-hmm.
it's crazy, because if you look at some of the laws on the books, the dead, the lame, the maimed, and Fido get better treatment than everybody
mm-hmm.
else.
Well, like I said, after they were indicted for, of course, you know, the animal endangerment, then they were, of course, you know, charged with, you know, the child endangerment. But they took the child to a nearby Pittsburgh hospital. The child could have broke her arm. It was that close to when they found her. If there was one more bump, and you know, if there was, you know, it could have caused a severe fracture. You parents, stepfather, and mother, I just want to tell you one thing, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and especially since this is a Halcyon Days, you know, revisited program. You know what? I hope that you really, really get what you truly, truly deserve in this situation. If you had a retarded moment, well, you know what, though? That retarded moment is going to cost you at least 5 to 10. So enjoy your time in prison. and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Okay. Now, basically going into another issue, guys, and it's just really, I don't understand this situation. There was an issue there in Alton, Illinois, where a mother was kidnapped. She was a mother of two. She had a mental illness, like Ricky talked about, and she was in prison in the basement and fed dog food for 3 years before succumbing to a heart attack. And the people who did this to this poor young lady were taking her Social Security checks on a monthly basis. And, Tony, I'm going to go to you first. Alton, Illinois, one of the most saddest stories I ever heard in my whole entire life. When they found her, she was covered with urine and feces. She lived in dire straits. I mean, it was just the most – the policeman there – the detective said they had never seen a pungent smell. They said the odor around her was worse than her decomposed body. Antonia?
Well, that's a first from hearing about that one, unfortunately. But considering what you...
Oh, yeah, it just happened.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's been a whole lot of kidnappings of people, and if they can acquire the money in addition to the kidnappings, you know, you got to watch these people out here. I'm not saying you can't be nice to people, But, you know, you got to watch these people out here who look like they have a little, you know, kookiness about them, because they may have you on a check, but they may be the ones who are crazy to the people they accuse of being off the wall out here. So,
you know,
in the name of money.
Tony, you know, ready for this? The people who kidnapped her were her own family.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, considering the way this world has been going. Corporate America will help you sell your family out in the name of living large, okay? I have no more to say.
Wow. That sounds like some Ricky stuff, right? You know what, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Jones. I spied upon what Antonia Baptist said, because she said from the gate, and she said something that was more real, I'm telling you, really real, like an old tape. She said, corporate America will make you sell out your family.
Hell, she never lied. She never lied about that, and I agree with her and then some. I'm not surprised that they were family members. And let me tell you something. That is not necessarily what they've done to the young lady, but family members taking your SSI check, your, because everybody by now knows the schedule on when the, like my grandma said, when the eagle lands, okay? The 1st, the 15th, the 5th, the 13th, because, hell, let me tell you something. Listen, it has gotten so sophisticated now. Remember now, when I was growing up, and, you know, I used to watch my great-grandparents, I knew when the beginning of the month and the end of the month came, you know, because they got their pension and their Social Security. But now things have got so tripped up and strange and out of control and kooky. Listen, now they got a couple of dates in the month. You got the 1st, the 15th, the 3rd, the 5th, the 8th. A couple of those, listen, you can get a check for your Social Security. You can get a check for your mental illness. You can get a check for if you're a vet. If you can get a check for this and you get a check for that and check them, check them, check them. Everybody checking, checking, checking. And I still got to go to work. And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that they're family members, because that has been going on since time immemorial. And, you know, I'm always an advocate for mental health. And what I don't get is, you know, Aunt Reese and them, you know what they've been doing with that child. You know they've been taking that child's check for 25 years. You knew that child was disabled. I'm going to use politically correct. Was disabled when the child came out the womb. Aunt Reese been taking that check since the child came out from day two, when they said, something wrong with the young lady here. Now, what I don't get is, you know Aunt Reese been taking the check. Nobody said anything? Because bet you what, if you go deeper into it, somebody done had their hand in a piece of that little girl's check or that young lady's check while Aunt Reese had it. And this has been going on for a while. A lot of our family members who are not able to take care of themselves for whatever reason, because they know you get a check, and that's a sad thing. That's the saddest thing to see in the world, that you will, like Tony said, you'll sell your family for a piece of green, like for a piece of paper. To do what? To think you live large? Large on what? Because, duh, when the child dies or the person dies, hello, the checks don't come in. I mean, you can get past it a couple of months. Not that I know anything about it. Let me put that out there. I don't know nothing about it. I'm just going by what I've seen in the news and what I've heard on the street. But then you can get by with it for a few months after they die. But then after a while, the government does say, hello, we're trying to hold on to all that we can. We know they did because we got the paperwork on it. You filed it, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we sending the check to? So, and it's totally insane that you would do it. I mean, come on now. Just because this person is disabled, and I can't stand when people do it, just because they're disabled doesn't mean that they don't count. They don't need to be discounted. I don't get that with people. Just because they learn or look or see something a little bit differently, they still matter. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Whatever comes to you is going to come to you and then some, because that's a sin and a doggone shame. And nothing good will come to you. I don't understand. I've never understood that with people. Why do you treat the elderly? Why do you treat the disabled? Why do you treat children mean? What do you get out of that? How the hell do you sleep at night?
Well, let me tell you something. These folks slept pretty good until the girl
yeah.
died. And,
you
know, in Austin City Police found the child. Well, she was a grown woman, but. You know, and a mother too. I mean, she had babies. It was said that the nephew, kind of weird. I don't know what how he was a nephew. They were the same age. You know how things happen. He impregnated the woman twice. And once again, it's a sad story. But guess what? The Beverly Nation will give you those stories because what do we do every week? We tell you the stuff that people do not tell you and fail to try to hide. No, I'm going right behind the refrigerator to get the dust and let you know about it right here on the Beverly Nation. So it's always, I know, I'm something else, and guess what? I'll be something else tomorrow. We're going to go to a feeling good story before we go off the air, okay? That's what I do. But first, I'm going to try to see if I get caller number three on the air. Let's see. Caller number three, you on the air? Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Hey, who is this here?
Precious.
Precious, how you doing, girl? It's good to hear from you again. Always a wonderful, you know, supporter of the Beverly Nation. I know you just heard some of my stories, Precious. I mean, you know, first of all, I'm here on the phone right here with in the studio with Ricky Jones as well as Antonia Bat. So we're so glad to have them on the program with House and Deja Visit. I mean, what story did we talk about tonight that touched you?
Well, actually, all of that I heard—the mental illness, the machete in the car, the machete in the person—is just so much madness. I'm thinking, I guess the news drug that I heard about must be on everybody's tongue that's doing this madness. Everybody in the bath salt now, laced with a little acid.
Isn't that crazy? And what you think about the girl in the dog cage? How you like that one?
All right, I had to stop laughing first because it's really sad, but first is nuts. And nuts on top of them is quite a combination.
Well, you know what, though? Anything you want to ask, you know, Antonia almost every day. She's on everybody's show supporting. Anything you want to talk to Antonia and then, of course, write to Ricky and either one or two questions you have for the young ladies hosting tonight?
Not really. I was just listening, and I didn't know about the girl on the cage, and I didn't know about the machete incident. So you guys are really my nation. When you guys talk about stuff, then I'll Google it and look it up because I really don't watch the news.
Crazy.
There's enough negativity.
Right. And you know what? We appreciate that because, like I said, you know, what we do on a constant basis is yeoman's work. That's why, you know, we put the best people on the best, you know, business on the best network, blogtalkradio.com. So, you know, we thank you, Precious, for calling in. I'm going to put you back, you know, into the field because I know you want to listen. Thank you so much.
You want to call, you know.
Uh-oh. She wanted to say something else there. Hold on. I'm putting it back on there. Hold on, lady. Sorry. What you want to say there?
Was that the first time that they had put the dog and the girl on the cage, or was this the first time that they got caught?
You know what? I'm gonna leave.
That's
you know
the question this year.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna leave. You know, Precious. You know what? God don't make no mistakes. I'm gonna keep you right here, and I'm gonna put you back on the field because you starting that. Let's go to another story. Of course, like I said, the feel good story of the night. Campbell Fruden was only 19 months old, just beginning to talk, when she developed a limp and begged to be carried. The only way she could express her pain was to tell her parents, it's too tight. In 2011, once interject Tyler was diagnosed and hospitalized with systematic juvenile idiopathy arthritis. Now, at one point, she was taking 8 daily medications. She was so afraid of the frequent steroid injections that she had to be put on anesthesia just to keep her still enough for the procedure. In the beginning, when all those unknowns were specified, we knew we had to get to the bottom of it, said her mother, Ken Pruden, a 35-year-old speech pathologist from Phoenix. But at the same time, we had to keep that poker face with her to give her confidence that you are okay. You're going to be okay. The couple has had their breakdown moments after Campbell goes to bed at night. One of the greatest misunderstandings about arthritis is that it doesn't affect only adults. More than 300,000 children in the United States are living with the disease, according to the Arthritis Foundation, which has launched a new public awareness campaign to debunk the myths of arthritis during the month of May. You know, and so, of course, May's over, and we're still talking about it right here in June. In addition to swelling the joints, children can suffer muscle and soft tissue tightening and bone erosion that can affect growth patterns. Symptoms may include a non-contagious fever and rash. Inflammation can affect the spleen or membranes that cover the covering of the lungs and heart. It is important to recognize the symptoms of arthritis early, as many forms of arthritis can cause irreversible joint damage, often with the first 2 years of disease. There are more than 1,000 types of arthritis, and knowing what type you have makes the difference on how it is treated. Today, at age 3, Campbell gets intravenous injections of the powerful immune-suppressing medicine known as biologics. But office officials can last, office visits can last anywhere from 2 to 5 hours long. She calls the tiresome procedures her tubes. Prudent laughs at the ordeal, and she thinks it's like going to Disney World for kids getting poked with needles. Prudent and her husband, John, take a positive approach with their daughter, whose joints always ache. We keep her moving.
Listen, guys, you know, that was a show from 2013 in June. And what lovely archive tonight from Antonia Batts and Ricky R. Jones. And the original Beverly Nation Classic, you know, that last Wednesday of our broadcast week, is outstanding. We'll take some calls right now. Now we're live. And of course, you know, I'm going to let Malay Wingosi. Call number one, you're live right now with the original Beverly Nation Classic.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, Ava?
Oh, it is me. Hi, I didn't hear the unmute.
That's right. I heard you. That's why I said hello, Ava.
That's good. That's why I asked. Hello. I just got to congratulate you on your wonderful content. Even, you know, this is the 10-year anniversary of WBNN, and that was just an amazing archive. I really enjoyed listening to it, and you know, I got to congratulate you. The content just was there from day one, and it just keeps getting better and better. And you run the gamut of everything as you do now, you know. So my hat's off to you, Antonia and Ricky, and it was just an amazing story. You guys were cracking me up, too, on some of it. I'm going to go there with you, right?
Let's go back to 2013. And talking about, you know, the egregious actions of the parents with the child that said, I want to, you know, be with the dog in the, you know, back of the pickup truck in the cage. What's your opinion tonight?
No, I just can't. the story that got me was the pants on the ground. That's the one, because that's still going on. And you know how I am. Fashion stole my soul. That ain't no fashion statement. But the story
well,
that's the
what
dog
it is.
And
I mean, you know, I mean,
about
we
it,
talked
I'm
about
scared.
That 10 years ago. You know, no. And it's crazy that kids still want to embark upon that. And you know what? They shouldn't have the guts to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's for attention, you know, but I think on a lot of the topics that you guys spoke about, mental illness is one of the things you touched on. And I think, and Jerry Petito talks about it all the time. You know, we got to address the mental illness because a lot of things stem from that. And then you have the mental illness passed on to the next generation and passed on to the next generation. And all this craziness comes about, you know? So I think it's a real challenge for us to deal with mental illness today. Imagine back then. But, you know, I think we really need to address that.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for listening to our archive, being a fellow host at the greatest network that's ever been, you know, WBNN
that's
Broadcasting,
right.
And we are Beverly Nation. When is your next show?
my next show is coming up on the 15th of March. I'm really excited, and I'm proud and honored to be a WBNN host. You know, I'm only on a little over a year, so I'm still kind of a newbie, and I'm loving our family. So thank you.
Well, we love you, Ava, and like I said, the trials and tribulations, you know, a lot of hosts have their trials and tribulations. They still call in and support,
mm-hmm.
and you are, you know, in the, you know, halcyon days of that, and I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful night. Love you.
Love you, and nothing you can do about it. That is Ava Holly. Well, what can we say? Caller number two. You're live with this wonderful archive since 2013, and now it's 2023. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Good evening. It's Genesis Amaris Kemp, and I'm calling from the great state of Texas. How are you?
Put them horn fingers up. I mean, Houston in the house. What's going on, Genesis?
Oh, nothing much. Just listening to these stories, man, it's just crazy. Like the one that stood out to me the most, I guess, now that I'm a mom, is the fact that somebody would put their child in the cage with their animal. When I was listening to it, I was literally taking a shower, and I was like, I hope he doesn't call on me while I'm in the shower, because the stuff is going to come
no.
out of my mouth.
No, not in the shower. Timing is everything, right?
Yes, I had my shampoo in my hair, everything. And I was like, are these people out there rabbit-ass mind? Like, who puts their child that they carried for 9 months or however long they carried their child, because I don't know if it was term or preterm, in a cage with a live animal? That animal could have bit the child. Anything could have happened. But then also common sense. I'm like, what were they thinking? I almost want to know, like, what was the logic behind them saying, oh, you know what, I'm going to put little Bobby or little Ricky or Susie or Bethany in the cage with Cuckoo? Like, what crossed your mind to decide that you were going to put your child in a cage with an animal? And then the fact that you were saying every time the car hit a bump, the kid felt it along with the dog, and, you know, the dog could have easily toppled over on the kid. I don't know how old the kid was, but I was just thinking all these dogs were running through.
Yeah, the kid was 4 years old.
And how big was this dog? Because I'm thinking about all these logistics. It just does not make sense at all.
The dog was a full-grown German Shepherd.
German Shepherd and a four-year-old?
That's what I was trying to tell Tony and Ricky. But you know what I mean? I didn't understand, you know, the situation. And I was trying to understand, but oh well, but yeah, that's what happened.
You know what they should do to those people? I mean, Lord forgive me, Lord, you know you're still working on me. I'm a WIP, a work in progress. They should put their grown asses in a cage with a bull or a horse and see how they like that, so they could see what that 4 year old went through. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It was sad.
Mm-mm. Lord Jesus, help me, Lord, because I want to say something else, but I'm not going to go there tonight. The Lord is still working on me.
Well, you know, it's crazy, and it was against, you know, the law. And, of course, those parents got out of prison and way back in 2017. They did 4 years.
4 years? Only 4 years? But then let somebody kill an animal, and they'll stop middle of traffic to get a little pee-pee or whatnot out of a tree, but someone does mm-hmm. it to a human being, and they only serve 4 years? Mm-mm. No ham, no cheese, no turkey, no. Mm-mm. Anywho, I'm going to leave that conversation right there before I start getting I'm a ghost pepper, because I make me irritated.
It happened. And, you know, it's crazy. You know what I mean? Both of them did time. And think about that. That four-year-old child didn't see their mother or father until they were 8 or 9 years old for just a malfeasance. How about that? That's just crazy. You know what I mean? Remember, you know, what you do is track in time, right? And hopefully that child got back with their parents, what have you, and they have a, you know, great relationship. You know what I mean? It's been a little while. But however, you know, that child now, you know, 12 years old, right? Or 13 years old,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, you know, it's crazy. So I want to thank you. And when is your next show, Miss Genesis Mars Kemp?
It is Monday, March 13th. But hold on. Before I go, I want to say something else really quick.
Yes.
It's about the other story about people stealing those checks, those Social Security checks, or
no,
I mean, disability checks.
Uh-oh. You starting your mess? Are you going to start your mess? Okay, go ahead. Good thing you. I love it.
No, because, I mean, so you think that it's, first of all, you kidnap your own family member to get their check. And you know that this individual is already, you know, mentally challenged, going through disabilities and whatever ailments that they're dealing with. And now you're using that to your benefit. And they're actually in dire need when you're fully capable of going out there, working and doing something with your life. You're not handicapped or anything along that. So what gives you the audacity to do that to your own family member, flesh and blood? And I'm like, see, this world that we're living in is just all screwed up. If that happened way back when, imagine what's happening now. Like Ricky said, with all these checks. It's just ridiculous. And I'm like, these people need to be held liable. And people, like, in my opinion, they need to make an example out of some people so this won't happen. Because if people see it, you know, this happening, and they're like, oh, okay, that person got through the crack. Well, let me do the same thing. No, we need to start holding people accountable and let them pay for their actions. Yes, I understand that we're all humans. We all make mistakes, but you mistakenly got caught. And I'm going to just say that line that Cat Williams said off of the movie First Sunday. It's a hot-ass mess, and people need to be checked because it's unacceptable what people are doing in this day. And I'm just, oh, Jesus, it just boils me whenever I think
well,
about
course,
stuff
you,
like that.
Of course, Genesis, and like I said before you give your show, I want to say this, you know, the stench of the feces and the urine was stronger than the decomposed body. And, you know, that's, you know, that was a news form. You know what I mean? You know, of course, we all know how great Dr. Chinchilla J has been with news form, but, you know, of course, I did it first. And, you know, these are the stories that we did in 13. And, you know, I, you know, stepped back to bring on Darlene Lawrence in that spot. We all know how great Darlene became, right? May she rest in peace. And then now we have Dr. Chinchilla J doing her stories. News Forum is here since 2013, y'all. All right.
These stories are vital. Yeah.
We did News Forum every week. From February until September 27 when we brought Darlene, you know, and it was a constant thing, just like we do every week in News Forum. That's why Chinchilla does News Forum every week. It's the embodiment of the franchise, the historic significance of News Forum. And, you know, it is what it is. All the way back in our charter member days. When's your next show, Genesis?
It's Monday, March 13th.
Outstanding results. Thank you from Houston, Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp. We'll bring these callers on, man. I know they're biting at the bit. Call you live with me, Olad Ski, and the original Beverly Nation classic, Halcyon Days Revisited.
Good evening, Brother O. This is Matt Graham. I'm calling from South Jersey. I like your show a lot. I just tuned in. I heard everything with you and Rick and I believe Tony, the archive. There were a lot of interesting stories with that. I listened as well last night. I didn't hit one, but I listened to the your show with Sam God. That was like a really good show as well. Today, as far as like with the police shooting and the mental illness involved with it, mental illness is so rampant. It's kind of like it's so bad that even the ones that are doing the diagnosing, like the doctors themselves, have like a mental illness because they're a product of like circumstances in this environment. As far as like this part that you mentioned with the pants sagging, I never took that into consideration as far as like the slave you know, thing as far as slaves not being able to have belts. I never heard that before. I wasn't sure.
And sharecroppers. Yeah, in the early 20th century, like I said, in the archive 10 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, I never heard that before. I wasn't sure what the logic really was on, like, why anybody would want to pass the sack. I never understood it either. Like, I'd look at people and be like, who would want to fill that anyway, you know, like with one leg and going in front of the other? Like, why would you want to even fill that way? I don't know. I can't call it. As far as that story as well with the girl that was in the cage in a pickup truck,
yeah.
It almost sounds like it's like sarcastic, like some type of like news that isn't real. Like they put their daughter in a cage with a fully grown. You said a German Shepherd.
Yeah, it was kind of a large cage. I mean, this story we embarked with me and Gene Turner at News Forum. That was a story from April 7th, 2013. The legend continues. You know what I'm saying? The archives continue. And I never forget, Gene was like, what? I'm not going to go with what Gene said on the air. But she was upset, you know what I'm saying? And she said some, you know, expletives. It took off guard. And I'm like, come on now. This is a, you know, outstanding, you know, provocative news story. You know what I'm saying? You know, and, you know, she... Gene Turner lost her mind that night. She could not believe this, like you just said. But, yes, it is recorded. Go back into, Pennsylvania State Police News, and you will find that story, man, 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's outrageous. I mean, even if just putting her in a cage in itself in the back of a pickup truck, I mean, it just doesn't sound really like a scenario.
Matt, it was bouncing around, Matt. It was bouncing around. That child could have broke her arm. You know what I'm saying? Or broke her neck. You know, she was close to breaking her arm. Okay? I mean, the arm almost was almost, you know, came out of socket by the time that child got to the hospital. 4 years old, right? And then one false turn, and the child could have died there with the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the type of stories that we do on a constant basis, man.
Yeah, that's good. It sounds like you do so many different stories, and there's such like a wide span and different variety. You know, you scratch the surface on a lot of things that the normal news would talk about, if that's what you want to call it, like on television as far as like commercial news. But sometimes they always tell the same story, so then you touch on different things like the wrongful convictions, discrimination, like things that aren't necessarily spoken on too often either. So that's why it's so, like, important to tune in. I mean, I don't press one all the time because I actually want to let the listeners, you know, have a chance to hit one. And also I feel like sometimes the hosts, like, are so much on a roll that I don't even want to interfere. Like, the story sounded so good. I'm like, let me fall back and really, like, listen in. Let everybody listen.
Well, the greatest thing about that, and I want to tell you right now, in front of the world right now, it's so important to have your voice heard because you need to promote your show. When's your next show, Matt?
Actually, my last show was February 23rd, so I'm not exactly sure the date yet, but I believe maybe March, the third week of March.
Mm-hmm. And your show is on a Wednesday night. It'll be the March. You got it right. March 23rd. Outstanding results.
Okay, March 23rd, the ONE host intern show.
Yes, sir, man. We appreciate you, man. Thank you, Matt, for calling in. And we got another caller on the line, brighten up a bit. Can't wait to hear this caller. Caller number 4. You're live and direct right now with me. First of all, I want to say to all the people out there, thank you so much for listening to this archive tonight. All right, caller, you're live and direct.
Hey, peace, Hall of Fame 4 times. How you doing?
Hey, man, what's going down? Mr. Hunibakasun, Hall of Famer 2 times.
Well, I definitely want to say thank you so much to yourself, Ricky R. Jones, and, of course, the Hall of Fame-nominated Antonia Batts, and everyone that was a part of the foundation. It's always good to revisit that And it shows how far our great company of WBNN has came to where we are now. The information continues to grow, and I stand in amazement. Look, let me share some things on first of all, I'm not shocked about the dog and all that kind of stuff like that. You know, when you comprehend the history of mankind dealing with the caves and animals and things like that, nothing shocks me. And divine proof of that shows up in nature when you look at the anatomy of the baboon, okay? Now, that's enough for that. But far as police brutality, first of all, we know, those of us in our right state of mind, know that they wasn't designed to protect, to serve and protect us. Yes, to serve us, right, but to protect their kind. It never was in our favor. And that's why, and I said this during the celebration of the great Dr. Martin Luther King, it's no excuse. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of that worn-out excuse about good cops, bad cops, and all that kind of stuff like that. And trust me, I'm third generation here in the shores of America. But you're not going to tell me it takes 50 years for this type of reform when they're still killing at will, with or without a reason. This is the thing I always say to our people. First of all, you know, you're not prepared. There's a lot of things you're not prepared. You got more faith than logic, right? Like I say, you're dealing with the nature of a people that don't need a reason to do what they do. Now that the 400 years is over, right, they have no choice. All we have to do is pretty much is get out their way, and yes, we do have a right to protect ourselves, and no one else should give us that right. That's stupidity right there. You know, why should we as a people have to expect or wait on another people to come and do something for us that we're not taking time to do for ourselves? I'm strongly against that. But stand out their way. It's our turn in time now, right? As I always say, for over 37, going into my 38 years of doing this, it's our time to rule ourselves and each other. But we cannot keep, you know, taking these toy guns to a real gunfight. You know, we got to stop doing that. But anyway, look, I'm one of your almost longest standing hosts outside of, like I said, Hall of Fame nominated Antonia Batts. And my show coming up the 9th of March or the 9th of this month, I think it was, next week. And I'll be on with another legendary international internet radio Hall of Famer like myself and lifetime achiever like myself, in the likeness of the real Italian stallion, Jerry Petito. And we'll be speaking about the rise and fall on the pathway to success. Anyway, I love you with the heart and soul of me. And again, Ricky R. Jones, I take a bow to you as well as everybody else that have laid the foundation for me to be here in this day and time to speak. And for those who don't know who's talking, you're listening to the Hall of Fame unanimous, Huni Barkatun, tribal name, and pen and stage name, Master Ta, Magic Man Haru. Again, love you with the heart and soul of me.
The 2022 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Lifetime Achiever, as well as the 2020 Broadcasting and Shrining into the same hall, Mr. Huni Barkatun. So proud of him, and thank him for calling in to this archive. Caller number 4, you're live and direct right now with me, Olad Ski, and the original Devination Classic.
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully Shot of Philadelphia, where your grandmoms had the douchebag hanging up in the shower while she was on a toilet reading sex mystery novels back in 1982.
You stupid man. Go ahead, man. Talk about this show tonight. You know what? Starting your mess already.
This is what I got to say about these things that I heard tonight on that show there, you know what I'm saying, in the archives. Yeah. Well, I'm going to start with this one, because this one might be paranormal enough to just end it with that. the thing with these guys with the pants here that seem to can't keep your pants up. Well, these days they get the two small size pants, apparently. Two small size pants, and then they pull them off the ass. I can't understand that. When you got the pants on that you clearly don't need a belt, but you still got your pants hanging off your ass, though. Can't understand it, but how we do understand this is however, back to what it was said in regards to, you know, the prison thing, you know, where this is the identification of, the sex mate of a prison yard or a prison population, you know what I mean, where they would make the homosexuals dressed to the likes of this, where they would pull the pants down, and furthermore they would do these things. They would wear the bandanas and they would tie them in the front. Now, what's ironic to that is, folks, is that, you know, they found the model for this particular look here, and the model in which that they utilized to propagate this particular look was your guy Tupac Shakur there. You know what I'm saying? He was the model for this look here. You got pants hanging off your ass, no shirt on, bandana tied to the front like Aunt Jemima. You know what I'm saying? That's the identification uniform for the homosexual cellmate or population mate in the prisons. You know what I'm saying? Again, the motto for this look is your man Tupac Shakur with his pants down, drawers hanging, shirt off, and again, topped off with the bandana scarf tied to the front like a baby mom. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your grandpop had Prism and HBO and some porno channels in the basement back in 1982. Check your satellites.
All right, now, you heard Clever One. Clever, when's your next show?
Oh, wait. Hold on. My next show, I should be. Now, see, we got some damn divisions and some subtractions going on with this Gregorian calendars here, adding dates and taking away dates. So I think I might maybe on the 20th. Who knows here, you know, with these guys.
It's okay. You're on the 22nd, man. It's all good. And I appreciate you, man. Listen,
like 19, hold go. On, like 2000 last year, damn it.
There you go. And he just said it, too. The 2022 WBNN Linear New Host of the Year. And now it is Ngozi time, but of course I'll have my last say after my commissioner pays the bills. Doctor.
All right. Awesome archive tonight. Good hearing Ricky Jones and Antonia. It was just amazing. And to hear the topic that you guys talked about back in 2013, wow, you guys talked about the gun violence. You talked about mental illness. You talked about these wayward kids out here. And, you know, and as we look 10 years later, the same stuff is still going on in this city of Philadelphia. And it's just pathetic. It's just absolutely sad. We still see young people walking around with their pants hanging down below their butts. And so it's so sickening because some of them, it's below their butts. So you see their butt cheeks and everything, like, you know, with their drawers. And it's just ridiculous. And then what even makes that worse is it's not just the teenagers anymore. You see people in their 20s. Walking around like that. And I've even seen men in their 30s, like in their early 30s at all, walking around like that. And, I mean, it's just so ignorant and just so pathetic. And they think it's cute. It's not cute. And as Clev said, you know, yeah, that's what Tupac did. And, you know, then before Tupac, they were doing that in prison. This is the way they walked around in prison because they weren't allowed to have belts on. in prison because that was a means to possibly commit suicide. So, you know, it's just ridiculous. But y'all need to wake up, wake up, wake up. And as you all talked about on that show, you know, the parents, how can they let their sons go outside looking like that? Even if they went outside appropriately but then came back in looking like that, I mean, the parents had to know. They got to see it. And so, no, my sons never, ever looked like that. And if they did, boy, they would have never looked like that again because it's horrible for anybody to walk around looking like that. It's just ridiculous. So I really enjoyed that, and y'all were funny, too. And some of them callers, oh, my goodness, yes, indeed. But that was an awesome archive, and it's so good that we have archives that we can listen to on WBNN, Beverly Nation. Archives, y'all, we got archives. All right, we got archives. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at @Ngozi_time and @OladelemeLewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? oladele.ngozi@my.com. From Mother's and Father's favorite producer, Oladele Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J. Saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned for the Jesus Show with International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee Christine Powell tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m., right here on WBNN, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com, and that is Eastern Time, everybody. And this Sunday night, make sure you tune in to News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J. That's me, y'all. 9:30 p.m. this Sunday night, we will have another case of wrongful conviction, as well as two more candidates that are running for office this primary. And since this was a News Forum night, if I can, I want to mention tomorrow night, we will be giving away coats tomorrow at Broad and Shelton. We have about 100 to 150 coats that we're going to be giving away for children. Sizes begin at, I believe, 2T, and they go all the way up to size 18. And then we have some smalls and mediums and larges and extra larges. So if you know a child or a family that need coats, please have them come out there. And they don't have to pay for them. They're free coats. We're giving them away. And we're also having petitions signed for my dear friends Caroline Turner and Ronnie Major, who are running for judge. So come on out, sign those petitions, and get them on the ballot, because we need judges like them that will fight for justice and do what's right. So, yes, come on out and be a voice tomorrow from 2 p.m. until 5 p.m. right there at Broad and Shelton. All right? And, all right, that's about it for me. Now back to International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee, Oladele Mlewe Ngozi.
The archive, y'all. Stop playing with me.